TMZ TV.
I want to talk to you today about the use, Paul's use of the word flesh in Romans chapter 8. Someone sent me my own CWTF newsletter today. It's volume 4, issue 27, from June 14th, 2015. I don't think I have read this article in 3 years. I was blown away by this article. It reminded me how epic this truth is, that the flesh that Paul's referring to over and over and over again in Romans chapter 8, the thing that we all struggle against. Well, it's not the flesh that the overwhelming majority of the people think it is. What it is will change the way you think about yourself, the way you think about God, the way you think about Christ, the way you think about this evangel. I mean, this is truly a revelation. And of course, I know this because I wrote it, but it's been 3 years, and whoever sent me this article, I dove into it, and it was so epic to me, I had to walk away from it. It was just so overwhelmingly great. I had to walk away and come back to it because I couldn't handle it in one dose. It's a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-page newsletter. I just kept reading this thing, kept going on and on and on. And I said, this thing is great. So I can't not share this with you. I'm not going to make some epic multi-part thing here with this, but I'm going to definitely cover this with you. It's important. And again, if you want to read ahead of time, I encourage you to do so. Go to martinzender.com, which is my homepage. Scroll down the left side of the page. You see the ZWTF archives. Go to volume 4, issue 27. Now, first things first, somebody told me, Martin, never light a cigar with the gas lighter, the little jet lighter like you were doing. It gives it a bad taste. I wouldn't know because all cigars taste like dog poop to me. But this person said you have to match light your cigar. So I'm going to attempt it here before we get into the sideline. You know, the scriptures are the sideline. This is the most important thing. I'm going to attempt to match light a cigar on the show. I don't know how this is going to work, obviously. I don't usually do this, but... Oh, I see now. I see what this is all about now. This is good. Wow. I got match left over. Thanks for going through that with me. Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 3. For what was impossible to the law, in which it was infirm through the flesh. Now, you're going to hear flesh over and over again. And then I'm going to have you guess the topic of this passage. What was impossible to the law, in which it was infirm through the flesh, did God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sin's flesh. And concerning sin, he condemns sin in the flesh, that the just requirements of the law may be fulfilled in us who are not walking in accord with flesh, but walking in accord with spirit. I'm going to stop there for a second. I think I've told you before what constitutes somebody walking in flesh and walking in accord with spirit. Walking in accord with flesh does not mean that you sin all the time. It just means you're disposed to your flesh, whether it's to fix it or to indulge it. It's disposition toward flesh. And as we're going to see here, I'm going to give you the lowdown right now. I'm not going to keep you waiting. I'm not going to toy with you. I'm not going to tease you. The flesh Paul is talking about here is self-righteousness. Do you remember yesterday's show? If you didn't, it's called Beware the Morality Police. In that video, which I borrowed from Clyde Pilkington's teaching, we went to Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19 to see the things God hates. God lists seven things that he hates in Proverbs chapter 6. And the odd thing was the classic Christian sins weren't there. Nothing about pornography, nothing about alcohol, nothing about cigarettes, nothing about adultery, nothing about anything. God hates, the number one thing he hates is haughty eyes. He hates pride, And we're going to find here in Romans 8 that the cross for Aeonian life now, for Aeonian life, doesn't the cross cover all these, what I would call, you're going to hear me use a phrase I probably never said on this show before, and I say it in this article, and this article reminded me that I said this, and I like it, and I'm going to say it here on the video. Second tier sins. What are second tier sins? These are the sins that will not disqualify you for Aeonian life, for the life of the eons. And they're the sins of the flesh, such as the Ten Commandments list, or such as Paul listed, or the sins I just listed to you. Somebody who gets drunk, right? Alcohol is not a sin, but getting drunk is a sin. Being greedy, an idolater, murder, envy. But there's one sin. Now, I'm not going to be like the Christian guys that say there's one sin that Jesus Christ didn't die for. No, Jesus Christ died for every sin. That's eternal life. But there's one sin, really, and I will be so bold as to say, and only one sin that keeps people from Aeonian life. And it's not alcohol, it's not porn, it's not cigars, it's not lighting a cigar with a gas jet. That seems to be the ultimate sin, I know, but it's not. It's pride, because pride keeps one, and this is, Satan inspires this, pride keeps someone from apprehending the death of Christ for sin, right? Because pride can take care of it. This is where the flesh comes in. The flesh of Romans 8 has to do with pride, wanting to do the things of God. That's the kind of flesh Paul's talking about. It's the flesh that would oppose the Spirit. We're going to get into that here. Why does Paul, I'm getting ahead of myself again, but why is Paul comparing the flesh to the Spirit here? This is why. Because the Spirit is what God uses to accomplish things, right? The Spirit. To accomplish things, to do stuff, to do good stuff, to create things, right? To make people breathe. Why is the flesh being contrasted with that? Because the flesh, in this context, is that part of humanity which also strives to do something epic and godlike. This is the beginning of the revelation. Flesh in Romans 8, before I read the whole passage, keep this in mind. Flesh in Romans 8, not talking about your classic second tier sins. And there's only one sin in the first tier. And that sin is pride. That sin is self-righteousness. That sin stinks worse than any other sin. And God says as much in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. The haughty eyes. The pride of the flesh. Pride of the flesh. These are not people in Romans 8 who are disobeying the Ten Commandments. These are people who are trying to attain things of the Spirit that only the Spirit of God can attain. That's why Spirit and flesh are being opposing one another. And it's so ironic. Again, I keep bringing up Christianity. I can't help it. It is so ironic that the Christian world is eliminating all these second-tier sins. See, they're in the complete world of second-tier sins. That's all they care about. They want to clean up your act. Like I said yesterday on the show, beware the morality police. They want to clean up their act. They want to clean up your act. And they're all dealing in second-tier sins. But the thing they're missing completely, and the thing that is taking them down for Aeonian life, is they are self-righteous, because they think they're eliminating the sins by their sins by their own power. And they're putting their power up, their flesh up, in competition with the Spirit of God. This is why Paul talks about flesh and spirit opposing one another. No, it's only the Spirit of God can make someone a believer. Not according to them. The strength of the flesh makes you a believer. That's what they tell you in the Christian religion. These people do not have Aeonian life. Yet this is a strange thing. We have Aeonian life. How? Why? I'm smoking a cigar here on the show, or trying to. I'm talking too much. It's probably out already. I have to relight it. How do we have Aeonian life? We're smoking cigars. Some of us cuss. I would never consider it, but some people do, I hear. And we're a little ragged. We try to do the right things, but we're ragged, and yet we're saved. You remember a guy named King David? He was ragged, and I talk about him in this article. I'm going to get into the details. I just wanted to lay the groundwork now, just kind of winging it. David was ragged. He did some really bad stuff. He was spontaneous. He lived according to the Spirit. He didn't worry about his flesh, because his flesh, even though he committed some second-tier sins, he never was a first-tier sinner, because this man recognized that it was God who gave him everything, right? The religious world says it's God that gives them everything, but God gives them nothing. They have the faith to claim it, to ask for it, to do it. In fact, they save themselves. They save themselves by believing. That's haughty, and this is the one thing God hates. God hates that more than somebody getting drunk. And how do we explain Saul the Pharisee? How do we explain this guy? Saul said he was the Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin, to the law. I'm going to get into this in detail, but I'm giving you the overview here. Paul said of himself in the book of Philippians, the letter to the Philippians, according to law, I was blameless. Blameless. So the man did everything right in the second tier sin department. But what is the one thing he did wrong that made him an unbeliever? You tell me. Yeah. Pride. Yeah, my cigar's totally out. I don't care. Pride. That's what Paul was guilty of. Self-righteousness. He did everything else right. And he would have said of himself, in flesh, I'm perfect. But he missed the biggest sin of flesh that you can have, which is pride, self-righteousness. All right, that's my freelance introduction here. Paul says in verse 5 of Romans 8, those who are in accord with flesh are disposed to that which is of flesh. And you can not be committing any second tier sins. You can still be disposed to the flesh. Why? Because you're trying to micromanage your flesh. And if you manage to do that for even a day, congratulations, you haven't sinned for a day? Wow, that's amazing. I'm telling you, if you're doing that in accord with flesh, then you can't help but being haughty about it. You can't help but having those haughty eyes and that self-righteousness, because the first thing you want to do if you somehow manage to live that sinless day is to make sure your friends are living that sinless day. Because now you did it, why can't they do it? I just did it. I lived a sinless day according to your standards, whatever they are, but they're poor standards, okay? If you can live a sinless day, your standards are poor. But the first thing people who accomplish things in a religious way, accomplish things in a flesh way. Yes, I said a flesh way. Mother Teresa was a slave of the flesh. The Pope, whoever, a slave of the flesh, whatever ideal person of the world of religion. Billy Graham, slave of the flesh. What do you mean, Martin? These people are practically sinless. Ah, you're looking at the wrong sin, my friend. You're looking at the second tier sins. You're not looking at the mother of all sins that actually disqualifies people for aeonian life, self-righteousness. That disqualifies people for aeonian life. And yet, if I'm not self-righteous, if I recognize that I am nothing, that my flesh profits nothing, Paul says, my flesh profits nothing, then I can do all the second tier sins in the world and I still have aeonian life. You understand that? I'm not talking about eternal life, talking about aeonian life. I can be engaged in all these second tier sins, right? Isn't that the way it works? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And if we are relying on him completely, then we're saved, right? And once we're saved, of course, we gradually, the Spirit works in us, and our walk improves the more we go, right? Yes, but the religious world doesn't start you out there. They start you out battling the second tier sins. I'm going to read a couple more verses here. I'm going to let you go for today, but I'm going to dive in specifically, and I'm going to read portions of this newsletter, which is, after I read it this morning, I thought this is one of the best things I've ever written in my life, because you never hear this about flesh, because as soon as you hear flesh, you think, oh, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, especially with the word lust in there. Why did Paul have to say that? The flesh lusts against the Spirit. What do you think of when you think of lust? Yeah. porn, looking at women, whatever. Harlequin novels, the flesh, lust against the spirit. What you don't realize is that religious lust is also a lust. It is a lust to want to attain things for God that only the Spirit of God can attain. And I'll repeat this again. Paul is playing spirit against flesh in Romans chapter 8. And that's all you need to know, because if you realize what the Spirit of God does, you will see now how flesh is in competition with the Spirit of God to do things that only the Spirit of God can do. I'm going to finish reading the passage. I'll let you go, then we'll jump in. Tomorrow, verse 5, for those who are in accord with flesh are disposed to that which is the flesh, yet those who are in accord with spirit to that which is of the spirit. For the disposition of the flesh is death. Yeah, the disposition of the flesh is death. Aeonian death. Even the flesh that's disposed to religious accomplishment. That's a lust. It's religious lust. It's worse than sexual lust. Sexual lust will not derail you for Aeonian life. It won't. But religious lust already has derailed you for Aeonian life, because you're not believing in the only name under heaven by which human beings are saved, Jesus Christ. You're believing in yourself. Religious lust is hundreds of times worse than sexual lust. I'm not saying that errant sexual lust is not bad. I'm just saying, in comparison to the lust I'm talking about, it's nothing, because it doesn't disqualify you from Aeonian life. This other one does. Religious lust, the lust to accomplish things that only the Spirit of God can accomplish, that's deadly. The disposition of the flesh is death, yet the disposition of the spirit is life and peace. Because the disposition of the flesh is enmity to God. Comparing it to God. Why in the world are we comparing the disposition of the flesh? Why are we comparing this to God? Because this flesh is trying to do the things of God. Like save. But flesh is not subject to the law of God. Newsflash, Ten Commandment people. Flesh is not subject to the law of God. Newsflash, for neither is it able. Verse 8, now those who are in flesh are not able to please God. Then how is it David pleased God? God called David a man after my own heart. He did lots of things in the flesh. No, he didn't. Yeah, in the second tier flesh, but in the flesh that counts, he knew who he was. He knew that he was nothing apart from God. He knew that his life and his breath and his all came from the divine spirit. That was the, quote, magic of David. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. And you read of his life and you go, how can this guy be a man after God? This is how. This is how. You're just looking at the second tier sins. You're not looking at the granddaddy. You're not looking at the mother of all sin, which is self-righteousness.